Take your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Tonight is going to be one of those, I say they're unusual, but probably something that's going to revolutionize your thinking a little bit about heaven. It may change some of what you've been taught in your life, but I want to help you. 1 John chapter 3. And I really believe that we'll be out on time, because I'm going to shut her down one way or the other, amen? But 1 John chapter 3, now I need you to keep your Bibles open, get your thumb greased up, because you're going to use it tonight, all right? So lick it, don't stick it in your nose, because the boogers make it stick, all right? Right, Kirsten? Or Hannah? They've got the same stuff I've got. So if you see them over there going like this, they feel like I do, all right? I just have 40 more years of experience of pushing through it than they do. But John, 1 John chapter 3, let's read the first three verses. You follow along. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, watch this, we shall be like him.
Amen.
For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. In my 49 plus years of life, I've heard many ideas about what our bodies will be like in heaven. Tonight, I'm going to show you what God says our bodies will be like in heaven. Now, I've heard everything from we're going to be spiritual bodies like a ghost floating around in space, to everybody's going to be 33 and a half year old men that looks identical to Jesus. The only difference is Jesus will have nail prints in his hands and a spear print in the side. I've heard it all. I've heard that we're all going to be wearing wings and white robes and long blonde hair, and we all become angels. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Why do we humans not accept what God says in his book about what it says? We're going to take the book and show you what God says. Can I tell you that I've seen somebody that's been to heaven and saw heavenly bodies? No. Okay, and neither have you, so don't worry about it. But I can tell you what the God of heaven told us, and he was there, came here, lived among us, so he ought to know. And we're just going to accept it at face value. Now, let me say this. Not only is heaven real, but heaven has people who have real bodies. Okay, just like you have a real body now, you're going to have a real body. You're not going to be able to stick your hand all the way through like Casper the Ghost, all right? It's not some spirit in a vacuum floating around sprinkling spoofle dust, all right? When we die, we do not become angels. I'm going to teach a whole lesson on this one day. Angels are created beings.
Yep.
Man is a created being. We no more become an angel than you become a dog after you die. Okay? They're two separate creations, all right? I wanted to say animals, but man's not an animal, contrary to the evolutionist. God never changes things from one life form to a different life form. Let me show you what I mean. A dog, when it dies, does not become a human being. That's why the people that believe in reincarnation are wrong in the Bible. You're not supposed to not kill the cow because it could be your great-great-great-great-grandpa because he came back as a cow. Now, holy cow, you know what? They really have a low opinion of their ancestry, don't they? You know, don't swat the flies because it could be your mother, all right? You know, good night. It just is amazing to me what people think. Now, angels... people no longer become angels at death than a dog becomes a corn plant. You say, well, preacher, that's just, okay, but that's how different humans and angels are. They are two separate things. Just because you go to heaven does not mean you become an angel.
Right.
Angels are created beings. They had the ability to sin because many of them fell with Lucifer, and Lucifer was an angel. The Bible says that man was made a little lower than the angels. And we'll get into that study at another time, but it's important for us to understand. Now, I want to take the Bible tonight and show you what God tells us about our bodies in heaven. I'm going to use Jesus' resurrected body often in this, because there's really no difference in the resurrected body of Christ than your heavenly body. And I'll show you that here in a little while. And I just want you to understand, his resurrected body was in heaven, but was also on earth. It had the ability to be in both, just like we will have one day. So we're going to take the Bible and show you what God has to say of it. Now, none of us have been to heaven and back. All right? We've not seen it with our own eyes, but God has showed us plainly. And I have about six or seven things I want to give you tonight. They're a little bit different, but I want to help you. All right, here we go. Number one, we will have a body of flesh in heaven. We will have a body of flesh in heaven. Take your Bible, turn to Job chapter 19. It's right before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19, look at verse number 25. Now watch this. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my what?
Flesh.
I shall see God.
Yes, sir.
In other words, though the worms destroy this body, I'm going to have a body of flesh to stand before God in. Now, well, that's Old Testament. It's still God's Word.
Amen.
It's still God's Word. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Boy, I really want to read a long passage here. I may skip and jump through some of this. I'd like to read verses 40 through 54 together, but I really don't. I'll see if I can crash through it here. Look at verse 1 Corinthians 15, verse 40. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. Now, celestial and terrestrial. Terrestrial. Do you know what terrestrial means?
It means earthly,
of the land. Celestial, that means heavenly. The moon is a celestial body. Okay? Jupiter is a celestial body. The sun is a celestial body. You say those are planets. Yeah, but you'll hear people talk about the celestial bodies in the heavens. All right? Here we go. Of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another the glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, raised, and it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown in the natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body. Notice it says spiritual body, not just in a spirit. And there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that there was not first that which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. And is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and is the heavenly, such as they that are heavenly. In other words, we're made after Adam in our earthly bodies. Jesus is made after the heavenly bodies. When we get saved and we die and we go to heaven, our bodies will be like his body.
Amen.
All right. Now, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, when at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now notice, talks about an actual body. Okay? A ghost doesn't have a body.
Right.
All right? Jesus appeared to the disciples and appeared on earth in a body that had flesh and bone after the resurrection. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, look at verse number 34. When Jesus died, was buried, and he resurrected from the dead, he came back on the earth for 40 days, and he appeared in a body that had flesh and bone. Look at Luke 24, verse number 34. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. They told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a
spirit.
Okay, look at me. That word spirit means ghost. Just like when Peter was out on the disciples were out on the ship in the water in the midst of the storm, and Jesus was walking on the water, and they said, it's a spirit, it's a ghost. And Jesus said, no, it's not, it's me. Peter said, if thou be the Son of God, bid me that I come to thee on the water. It's amazing how the disciples believed in ghosts. Sounds like Ghostbusters, amen. Verse 38. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not, what's the next two, three words? Flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Wow. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now, look at me for a second here. Jesus said, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. He said, touch me. I got flesh, I got bone. I got them both. I'm like you. I'm not a spirit. Now, can you imagine somebody being crucified? You watched them die. You watched them bury them. 3 days and three nights later, they got out of the grave. You're sitting in a locked up room with about 120 people. And all of a sudden, the person that died 3 days ago, 3 days and three nights ago, shows up in the room. I can understand. The doors were shut. And all of a sudden, he just appears there. I can see why they were afraid and terrified. I've been in many a funeral homes. I've been around a lot of death. And the first time one of them things sits up in the box, I'm out of there. Promise you. There will be a new exit. My mom's afraid of snakes. I'm afraid of dead people sitting up in our funeral home. All right? I don't get creeped out in those places, but if one sits up and starts talking, I'm out of there. That would be enough to scare you. All right? Now, there's so many things we could go with from there, but we won't. Now, the Bible says we shall be like him. If he was in his resurrected body that had already gone to heaven, put the blood on the mercy seat, and came back to earth, guess what? He had flesh, he had bone, he was in his heavenly body. So that means in heaven there will be flesh and there will be bone in heaven. Now, our heavenly body will not be able to sin, and our bodies won't be affected by sin, which means our bodies won't age.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You say, well, then what will I look like when I came in at my height, what my weight? I have no idea. God doesn't tell us how tall, how wide, how what age we're going to be when we're there. He just says, we'll have flesh, we'll have bone. Some of us may have more flesh and bone than others. I don't know. But our heavenly body will not be able to sin because our salvation is eternal. Our salvation is eternal. It not just saves our soul and our spirit, but eventually it will be the salvation of our body because we'll get our glorified body that cannot sin. By the way, it is a body that cannot die because it cannot sin. That's why there'll be no death in heaven, because we will have bodies that cannot sin. Make sense to everybody?
Yes,
all right. So, number one, we'll have a body of flesh in heaven. People that are there have a body of flesh and bone. People that you know that are there. I have grandparents there. I have family members there. I have multitudes of friends there. I've got Brother Hiles there. And we've sent people from here there. Ricky's got a real body in heaven. Ray's body's in heaven. I don't think he's got his beard, but we don't know yet, all right? But, God bless, they have real bodies there, and they're recognizable. The disciples recognize Jesus in his body. And the Bible says we shall be like him. Now, number two, we will recognize people in heaven by their bodies. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We will be recognizable in heaven by our bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse number 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but watch this, but then I shall know even as I am also known. In other words, when we get to heaven, I'm going to recognize who you are. And you're going to recognize who I am. Because I'll be known there as I'm known here. to some people, I know what era of life or what closeness we are when I meet somebody or I hear somebody call me by name. If I hear somebody say my first name, I know it's probably family or somebody that I knew in high school. Because very few people just use my first name. And it's not anything bad, but I've been in the ministry long enough. Most people call me Brother Bush, preacher, pastor, and I understand that. But I'll be in heaven, and I'll be able to recognize Ray Craig in heaven. I'm going to say, hey, Brother Ray, how's it going? And we're going to recognize each other. You say, why? Because we will be known as we are known here on earth. We shall be known as we are known here. The Bible says, then shall I know, even as also I am known. All right? So, when Mary saw Jesus on the Emmaus Road after the resurrection, she supposed that he was the gardener, and he called her name. He said, Mary. And she said, Rabboni. And she was ready to hug him because she didn't think he was alive yet. And he had resurrected. He said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father. You go tell the disciples I've resurrected and I'm going to come back and talk to you. And Jesus left, went to heaven, put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and then appeared to them later that day. Now watch this. She recognized him. She recognized his body. She recognized his voice. His voice will be, your voice won't change a whole lot up there. Mary recognized his voice. The disciples recognized his body. They recognized his voice. there was a preacher many years ago. He's still alive, I think. He may not be, but He even wrote a book on, when you die, every Christian will be a 33 and a half year old male that looks just like Jesus. He can believe what he wants. I wouldn't separate over that point, but I think he's got rocks in his head. I really do. We don't all look like 33 and a half year old males walking around that looks identical to Jesus right now, do we? And I'll show you what I mean here in a second, but we were created in God's likeness. Turn to Genesis chapter 1 very quickly. I'm using a lot of Bible on purpose because I want you to understand it to settle everybody, including people that you'll deal with. But look at Genesis 1, look at verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Our likeness. Remember the verse that we shall be like him. We are created in God's likeness now. It doesn't mean that we will be identical to him, but we will be like him. Let's keep reading. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing creepeth upon the earth. That means Hillary. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Wow. Watch this. God made man and woman in his image. Now, I hate to tell you, but my wife and I do not look alike. Thank God. Now, wait a minute. But we were both created in God's likeness. That doesn't mean everybody's going to look the same. It means that we are going to have a very similar body to what we have here on earth. Does that make sense to everybody? That is in the likeness, the image of God. All right? Now, he made us as individuals. Why would he change it there? Let's use biblical logic. If he made us all individual, and some he made just so we could laugh at him, some he made Ellen, you know, some people shouldn't giggle at the wrong times here, you know, but God made us all after his likeness and his personality, and he gave us all different personalities so that we could fellowship with him, and he made it that way on purpose. We're not a bunch of mind-numb robots that all look alike, walking around going, doing the same thing. Why would God change that in heaven? God made us unique on purpose. I think Ray Craig is one of the clowns in heaven. If you knew Ray like I did, he's probably got his thick glasses on, his eyes bugged out, and having fun driving a bus in heaven. You say, why? Because that was Ray. Ray loved fun. I think if somebody reaches for a piece of fruit that's on the tree he wants, he's going to stab him with his fork. That's just what Ray's personality was. Now, he won't do it with sinfulness in mind. It'll be playfulness. But may I say this? He made us individuals. Now, I probably shouldn't say it this way. Don't get mad at me. But I don't think we're all going to be... to think everybody's going to be the exact same thing, a 33-year-old man, that would be almost sodomy. Now, I realize there's no reproduction in heaven, but God made us in his likeness, male and female. Everybody got that? All right, here we go. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus recognized Moses and Elijah in their heavenly bodies. And he introduced them to Peter, James, and John. And they weren't looking at ghosts. Peter, James, and John didn't look at a ghost and say, "Shazam! What is that?" No, he said, "Fellas, I want you to meet my two friends. Here's Moses and Elijah." And they talked, they spoke to one another, they saw each other in bodies. And they had come from heaven to earth with Jesus to talk to Jesus and Peter and James and John. So their bodies were in heaven. And I've got to hurry here. Number three, my heavenly body will be like Jesus's body. Turn to 1 John chapter. We read it a little while ago. Don't turn there. I got to hurry. That says we shall be like him. 1 John 3:2. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Philippians chapter 3. I'm trying to hurry, folks. Look at Philippians 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is even able even to subdue all things unto himself. Notice, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. It doesn't say that we'll look exactly like him. Did you know that two ladies, we could have 10 ladies here with the same type dress on, but it's all different colors? You know, there's a pattern for a dress, but you can make it look however you want as far as the material you choose. It may have the same pattern, but it might look totally different in different colors and different prints and different styles of material that you put with it, though it's the same pattern. Does that make sense to everybody? Jesus is the pattern, but he's colored us with all different kinds of material. That's what it's talking about here. That's the fashion. It's not that we're all going to look like. Turn to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. Told you, get your finger greased up. You're going to need it. Psalm 17, look at verse number 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. In other words, when we wake up in heaven, we will be like him. It doesn't say we're going to look identical to him. It says we will be like him. And I've got to hurry. Number four, our senses in heaven will be as God intended them here on earth. They'll be, let me say it this way. I don't think that we're going to have extra senses, but I think that our senses will be unbelievably unlimited like they are limited here on earth today. My sense of sight is limited. If I take my glasses off, I can see people. I can recognize you, but I couldn't read anything. All right? I'm not like Brother Gus and take them on, put them on. I'm way beyond that. All right? You can't hold your Bible far enough out for me to be able to focus on. All right? My sight is limited. My sight of my perception of color, being colorblind, is very limited. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to see every color that there is and experience it in ways that I couldn't experience it here on earth. Same thing with our sense of taste, our sense of smell. My little puppy dog, my beagle, God bless that dog. It has a nose like nothing I've ever been around in my life. That dog can be outside. My wife can put peanut butter on a piece of bread in the kitchen all the way upstairs. That dog hits the door, and that dog can smell the peanut butter from downstairs. There ain't no lie about it. They say if you make a cake, a beagle's nose is so sensitive, it doesn't smell the cake. It smells every individual ingredient in the cake. It can smell the flour, the sugar, the eggs, the vanilla, whatever you put in it. It can smell every individual component, not just the whole thing. When we get to heaven, my beagle's nose is going to look like me with a cold right now. We're going to be able to sense things like that. Elisha's servant in the First Kings, it said that he was worried because the Assyrian army was encamped, and Elisha went out and said, Lord, would you open the eyes of the young man? And he looked out, and he saw the heavenly host encamped around the Assyrians and said, hoorah, we won. All right? He couldn't see him before, but God opened his eyes to see what he could not see before. So our vision will be enhanced. I don't think we have extra senses because we were made in the likeness of God. I think our senses will be sinless, and they'll be enhanced and not hindered by our sinful flesh. Does that make sense to everybody? That means when we taste things, it will taste that much better. Our ability to touch. I believe there's emotion that goes with touch, but it will be enhanced that much more when we're in heaven. And I could go on and on. I won't because I have 3 more points in 8 minutes. Number 5. We will not all wear dresses and robes in heaven.
That's good.
Now, I realize Revelation chapter 6, verse 11, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 14, talks about the heavenly host wearing robes of white. But if you look at the word robe in the Greek, it is the word stole, and that word stole means long garments. It doesn't say long flowing garments, it says long garments. In other words, fellas, by the way, I don't think God would change his premise that a woman's not supposed to wear that which pertains to a man, and a man shouldn't wear that which pertains to a woman. And I hate to tell you something, Hollywood and liberals have messed it up. Not everybody in the Old Testament walked around in robes. Men wore breeches. Everybody doing all right? The word stole is not the word katastoi, which means long, let down, flowing robe. That is the word used for a woman's dress. Stole is a generic term meaning you're covered. We'll be appropriately covered. No bikinis in heaven. Glory to God. There's not going to be anybody walking around half naked in heaven. We're all going to be covered, and we'll all be dressed appropriately in heaven, is what God's telling us there. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun right now. This word robe isn't the word robe like you wear at your house necessarily, a bathrobe or whatever you want to call it. I can't see God making men wear women's clothing in heaven. I just can't do it. The hardest thing I ever had to do is wear one of those stupid things for college graduation, high school graduation. Thank God I could wear a pair of breeches underneath. I didn't like those things. But you got to do what God says. Amen. God is not going to change his idea of dress standards for eternity. If it was good for us here, it will be good for us there. Everybody understand that? All right, here we go. Number... Hit that one and run. Amen. Number 6. Heavenly travel will be different. Heavenly travel will be different. You're not going to need United Airlines, American Airlines, U.S. Airlines, or Southwest Airlines, and God forbid you ever travel Allegiant. All right? Don't do it. Allegiant Airlines, I wouldn't put the president on. Maybe Hillary, but not the president. All right? But we're not going to... Travel is almost immediate in heaven. Let me show you what I mean. Jesus traveled from earth to heaven and back in just a matter of minutes or maybe hours at most. And heaven is in the farthest northern part of the universe. Millions of light years away. And he was there and back like that. Look at John chapter 20. We were there just a minute ago. Go back there. John chapter 20. Maybe I had referred to it. I don't know if we were here or not. But I think I had referred to this. John chapter 20, verse number 17. I got to hurry, folks. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came, told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, notice this, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, which is, what is the first day of the week? Ah, watch this. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, they were at church. They locked the doors and closed the doors because they were afraid of what the Jews were going to do to them. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Notice, he left heaven, he left earth, went to heaven, came back that same day. He traveled millions and millions and millions of miles. Matter of fact, in Luke 24, you find out he just appeared in the room when the doors were shut. That means he had the ability to go through a door or a wall and just be there. Say, how does that work? You'll have to wait till you get there and figure it out. I can't answer that. All right? It will be different, I promise you, but you'll have that ability. Now, we know that when Jesus died, he descended in his body to the heart of the earth into paradise. Not only did he go to heaven, but he ascended to the depth of the earth. Gravity will not have the same effect on our body as it does now. In other words, gravity will be there, but it won't have the same pulling effect as it has now. That means all the weight that you had here that dropped to your waist, it won't drop. Amen? Now, I'm going to hurry. I'm going to give you the last point. This last point, I may teach a whole lesson on this next Wednesday night. I have it virtually prepared. But number seven, I think this one will just, I'll hit it just for fun and keep going here. But number seven, we're going to eat in our heavenly bodies. Amen. It ain't going to be heaven if we can't eat food. Amen. It definitely isn't going to be Baptist there if it's no food. I have a whole lesson on this. We know that in John chapter 21, you're there in John 20, look over in John 21. This is after the resurrection. Look at verse number 13. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after they was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Jesus ate bread and fish with the disciples. It's found again in Luke 24, verses 42 through 43. Bible says that Jesus ate fish and honeycomb. It literally says he ate fish and honeycomb. Turn back to Luke 24 just for a second, and I want to show you why he did this. Luke 24, verses 41. And while they yet believed, not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He did this so that they would believe that he wasn't a ghost.
Right.
Now, I want you to notice something. He ate bread. He ate fish, and he ate honeycomb. Don't get mad at me, but I'm not sure we're going to be vegetarians in heaven. I'm not saying that we're going to eat meat, but I know this. Jesus ate meat in his resurrected body.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to go any farther with that this week, but I just want to throw that at you. I know this. The angels eat food. It's called manna, angels' food. We'll discuss that next week. The angels had a food that they were known for, and it was called manna. That's what God fed the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. And we'll look at that. Now, folks, I'm done. Heaven is a real place. I know God tells us this. Matter of fact, he said there's real people there. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I want you to notice something. Not only is there a place, but there are real people there that have real bodies. And that's what our bodies will be like. Can I tell you that we're all going to look identical? I don't think so. We don't look all identical here. I think I'm going to recognize Brother Joe Lopez's bald head. I think I'm going to recognize people as I reckon, because it says we shall be known as we are known here. Heaven's a real place. We'll recognize people there. We're not going to have to walk around and say, okay, everybody looks like Jesus. Okay, Jesus, which one are you? I don't think it's going to be that way. I think we'll all be as recognizable there as we are here.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's bow our heads, close our eyes. You know, heaven's a real place. You might wonder, what do people look like that are there? Some of you have babies that you never got to hold, that you lost, but they have real bodies there. You'll get to meet them for a first time in a body that you can actually hold and see, and you'll know who they are. They're real people. We'll have real bodies in heaven. As